Where's my Bible? John 1, take your Bible, here's your passion. I got a call this week to do FCA at Bremen. And they told me I had 10 to 15 minutes, really about 10 minutes. Earl set me up. She said, "You got about 15 minutes." And I got there and they said, "You got about 10 minutes. Leah laughed. She said, "Dad, you can't even do an introduction in 10 minutes." But the Lord gave me a word for the kids. And we talked about it Wednesday night. And the word was, your journey starts now. And he told me just to speak to him about the Apostle John for just a few minutes. And the fact that the Apostle John, when he was called to follow Christ, he was Noah Siegel's age. 15 to 18 year old kid. And he was called to follow Christ. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote Revelation. You know, if one book's more significant than other, you know, we could say, "Oh, he wrote, you know, Deuteronomy," and we'd be like, "Oh, okay, cool." But he wrote the Gospel of John and Revelation. He wrote epistles. And he didn't write them when he was a 16-year-old kid. He wrote them on down the road. He was a 90-year-old man when he wrote Revelation. But his yes when he was 16 qualified him to write Revelation when he was 90. His yes when he was 16 qualified him to write the Gospel of John when he was 30-something. It qualified him for that. It propelled him that. And the message I gave to him is, your journey starts now. Your journey starts now. And like I said, we talked about this Wednesday night and everything, but the thing about the disciples that we fail to understand is because we think God's going to come out and randomly pick us, and what that does is that gets us off the hook. Because we think God's going to come in and, oh, he selected the Bill Johnsons or the Damon Thompsons or the Heidi Bakers or the, you fill in the blank, Stephen Furtick's and all of that. And he's put this amazing mantle on them and this amazing gifting on them and all of that stuff. And the reason that I'm not doing anything in kingdom life is because I'm not God's chosen and I'm not God's favorite. That gets you off the hook, right? Gets us off the hook. Well, I just don't have the platform. I don't have the anointing. You know, we've all got our different niche and all of that stuff. You don't have to have that niche to be powerful in the kingdom. Our yes is what qualifies us. And what most people don't realize about these disciples that were called the Andrews and the Peters and the James and the John and the Nathaniels is these guys were looking for him. They're already disciples of John the Baptist. They're already disciples of John the Baptist. Their passion and their pursuit was already seeking God. They were pregnant with the anticipation and the belief that Isaiah 40 was at the precipice of coming to pass. Isaiah 40 is the great prophetic scripture. It says, "Prepare the way for the king because he's coming. Prepare the king's highway." The king's coming in. And all of Israel was sick of what was happening in their culture and their society and their world. Just like, I don't know anybody on any side of any political fence that loves what all's going on. They look and they see these problems here, and I see a ton of problems. The whole process with the Supreme Court nomination is just sickening to me. It was just like, absolutely, both sides was sickening to me. the behavior and all of that stuff. Hopefully that'll motivate us to want to get out and make a change instead of just sitting back and say, well, that's not my niche. I don't have anything to do with that. Yeah, you do. Pray. Vote. Engage in the heavenlies. And so all of Israel was sitting here saying, man, I'm sick of Roman rule. I'm sick of we've got all these divisions. You think we got divisions now? They had Pharisees and Sadducees that did not agree with each other. They did not get along until it came to the point of, let's kill Jesus. But there was a group of people that said, I feel something in the air. I feel something happening. I am pregnant with something because right now heaven is brooding over what's happening. And it started with, well, obviously we know it started in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. Well, it really started when Mary got pregnant and then John the Baptist was placed in Elizabeth's womb. And so all of a sudden we come in and they've got hope that's rising up in a group of people and they say, I believe the time's now. I believe there's something significant about to take place. I believe that God's doing something right now and He's about to release the hope of Israel, the promise of Israel. To the point that they were not surprised when Jesus burst on the scene. Let's read a little bit of scripture and I'm going to try to tie this up real neat and we'll develop it Wednesday night. We look at this great proclamation that John makes, probably the greatest declaration ever been made in the history of humanity, and John saw Jesus and he knew it was time. He had been, now realize guys, John grew up around Jesus. They were cousins. They were cousins. He knew there was something different about him. Perhaps he knew he was the Messiah. We know that when he was in Elizabeth's womb, he began to leap as he was in the presence of Jesus. So stirred just by his presence. But he grows up and he lives this life of expectation, this life of brooding, heaven brooding over him. Brooding over a calling, brooding over a mantle, a destiny. He'd heard the stories. Your mother was old. Your dad has a visitation from angels. They came in and they announced the fact that you would be born because your mother was barren. He had heard all these. He knew he was a miracle child. He knew that when his father became where he could not speak, and when he declared, he wrote down, his name shall be called John. Then immediately he began to speak. He knew all of this stuff. He knew that destiny was all over him. I think deep down, everybody, I know we try to beat ourselves down because of our sin nature and all that. Our old sin nature. Our old Adam nature. But I think deep down people know that there's greatness and destiny on the inside of them. I believe that. You can't convince me otherwise. You know why I believe that? Because I look at my grandchildren and I look at your children. And when they're 2 and they're 3 and they're 4, and I don't have to pump them up and tell them that they're superheroes, they believe that. When they're playing and pretending and all of that stuff, they're not sitting here and saying, you know what, I'm going to be the drug addict that's strung out and lost all hope in life. They say, I'm going to be Batman. I'm going to be Superman. I'm going to be a princess. Every little girl that I'm around, and I live in a sea of estrogen, but every little girl that I'm around, you know what they dream of being? Princesses. We didn't have to convince them of that. I guarantee you she's going to come up and she's going to start watching Disney movies and all of that, and you know what she's going to dream of? I'm Ariel. I'm Baal. I'm somebody. There is something that is built in us that we believe that there's greatness in us. We believe there's destiny in us. We believe there's purpose in us. Somewhere along the way, society robs it out of us. The enemy robs it out of us. That's his biggest mission in life. It's not to drag you to the depths of hell, because once you said to Jesus, that was done. But he's trying to rob that greatness out of you. And he comes in, and you know what he does? He parlays the whole Adam nature on you. So, well, you're just, you know, I know your thoughts, and I know your actions, and I know your attitudes, and I know your complacency, and I know this, and I know that. And we come in, and we're like, he's right. So it must be for somebody else. But John knew there was greatness on him. They knew there was greatness in his message. And he embraced it. And it caused him to be different. It caused him to be rejected. It caused him to be separate. He was cool with that though. Because he said, I believe in what's on me is greater than personal desire, personal gain, or anything like this. He struggled a little bit and stumbled toward the end of his life a little bit. He fought battles he shouldn't have been fighting. I personally don't think he should have been beheaded by Herod. He's wanting to fight battles instead of being a disciple of Christ. I'm going to come in and get all up in it, and I'm going to tell you, you're living in sin, and brother, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And perhaps he should have been hanging with Jesus. You ever thought about that? We know he was off kilter a little bit because he sent disciples to Jesus while he was in jail asking him, saying, are you here? Should we look for another? Dude, your whole life. At that point, I'm saying, what are you still doing with disciples? Jesus is the one with disciples. But he believed there was greatness in him, and so he was preaching a message that wasn't popular. He was preaching a message that was, but it was connecting with people on all of these levels that had hope for the Messiah. And some of these guys were Andrew and Peter and James and John and Nathaniel. That's five of them that we know. And so we come in John 1. And in verses previous to verse 35, John declares, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. He said, this is the Messiah. This is the one. This is the one I've been talking about. He pointed out Jesus and said, this is the guy. Public declaration. This is him. Everybody that's been following me, everybody that's been following my message, this is the guy. The one I've been talking about, right here he is. Verse 35, again the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples. So two of his disciples heard the declaration the day before. They saw him saying that Jesus is the one. In verse 36, and it says, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Follow Jesus. They stopped following John and they started following Jesus. Sometimes we have a hard time with that transition. John's comfortable. We're comfortable with that message. Embrace change when it's kingdom change. Embrace Him taking you from glory to glory to glory to glory. Embrace Him coming in and transforming your life. Some of them couldn't because, like I said, we see later on that John still got disciples down the road. More comfortable being a disciple of John than following Jesus. Because John's what we know. It's what we've become accustomed to. But these two guys, they left John and they started following Jesus. Verse 38, then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto him, what seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And it said, he first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. One of the Gospels says, we found the one we've been looking for. We found the one we've been looking for. If you want to put a title on this message this morning, it's what are we looking for? What are you looking for? Because I'll be honest with you, the majority of the church is not looking for enough. It's not looking for enough. He said, we found the one we're looking for, and he brought him to Jesus. And then when Jesus beheld him, he started prophetically declaring stuff over him. He said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. We had time, we could get into all that and what these names mean and what all these words mean. It says, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and said unto him, follow me. Now Philip was a Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And then Philip goes and he finds Nathanael. And he said unto him, we found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, come and see. So Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said of him, behold, him an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. And Nathanael said unto him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. I saw you. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. I'm going to finish in verse 51. We're going to talk just a minute. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. He said, dude, this is just starting to, just barely scratching the surface. He said, you're going to see open heavens and you're going to see angels ascending and descending. You're going to see them doing the Lord's bidding, Father God's bidding. Not just on my life, but on your behalf. How many of y'all know that the Word says that we have angels that are on assignment in our lives? I'm serious. I have angels that are on assignment in my life. I do. So do you. If you're a son, if you're a daughter, if you're His, if you said yes to Him, He said, you're going to see this. Your world is about to get turned upside down, but what are you looking for? The reason the end suddenly happened in John's life, and we see this also that James and John, they were partners in the fishing business with Peter and Andrew. They heard and saw the same message. You read the other Gospels. But I like the process in this one. John records, I find it interesting that John does not record his yes to Jesus, but the other writers of the Gospels did. He said, man, this is how Peter and this is how Andrew and these how these, and we're business partners with them. Perhaps he was the other disciple. I just something in me feels like he was the other disciple that was talked about in that first verse besides Andrew. But my point is they were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the kingdom of God to manifest itself right then. Not one day, but right then. They had full expectation that this was on the point of happening. Full expectation. And when it happened, it didn't shock them. That shouldn't surprise us. That should be every week. That should be every Wednesday night. That should be every time we get together. When we have just supreme presence of God, that should be the norm for us. Like I said, I wasn't there, but what y'all felt last night, that's what it ought to feel like every time y'all get together, and I hope it does. That's why you love to get together. That's why the Word says, forsaken not the assembling of the saints. It's not just talking about church, but it is talking about church. But not just talking about church, because it says every time that we come in, our faith collides. Every time we come in, our story collides. Every time we come in, our history collides. Every time we come in, my angels collide with your angels. My God collides with your God. Every time we come in. And I look at this whole thing about John and Peter and Andrew and these disciples and the "and suddenly" that happened in their life. And the reason the "and suddenly" happened in their lives is because it's what they were looking for. Church, we've got to get our vision where we're looking for more than what we've been looking for. We're believing for more than what we're believing for. I think the suddenness of this Supreme Court stuff that's happened in less than 2 years is God simply showing us I'm moving quickly. I really do. And I'm not wading over into politics and all of that stuff. But God is involved in every aspect of our culture. And He wants to move in every aspect of our culture. And it's not going to take 15 years. God is not in a hurry, but He does move suddenly. That's important to know. Don't be surprised when God starts amplifying things in a hurry. But the question for all of us is, what are we looking for? James, what are we looking for? Jesus asked the scribes and the Pharisees and all the people, He said, when you went out to see John, what were you looking for? Did you go out to see a prophet? Did you go out to see a teacher? Did you go out to see a man in the wilderness? What were you looking for? I want to ask you, what are you expecting out of your life? What are you believing for in your life? Right now, God's challenging me in every area of my life. He is challenging me in absolutely every area of my life. And He's saying, are you looking at your life as the way that you think it is? Are you looking at your life the way that you think it's going to play out? Are you looking at your life the way that you feel like I'm looking at your life? Every area. He's challenging me on my giving like that. He said, are you giving based on where you are right now, or are you giving based on where you expect to be? Come on, somebody. I'll be honest with you guys. I get frustrated with this house in worship. Can I just, as a father of the house, speak to this house? We got a really good worship, man. I love our worship team. I love their heart. I know these guys. But I get real frustrated with us in worship because we come in and we have such a low expectation level. And we'll sit down and we'll be ho-hum about what we think God's going to do because maybe I ain't feeling it today. Just because I ain't feeling it today doesn't mean my God isn't moving in that place. I do, man. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. Cause I'm one of these, you know. You throw me in the middle of it. You know, I'm in 4 hours, Friday night, I'm in 4 hours of free flow worship. And I didn't hear a word. I mean, as far as Damon preaching or teaching or anything like that. And I'm still processing what all he said and what I experienced. We sang words to two songs. We didn't sing those two songs over and over and over. In that 4 hours, there were two songs that were released in there that they had wrote in the house. Everything else is just free flow worship. But I could feel such a weight of heaven and such a weight of earth converging. Converging. Can I read what I wrote? As I was in Hope Chapel for pre-service prayer, see, you know, what we do is we get there an hour before the service starts for pregame. Y'all good at, I don't mean to beat y'all up this morning. I'm trying to help you to get to some great places. I really am. I'm trying to help y'all get to some great places. But, we'll get there an hour early for pregame. Everybody will get there an hour early for pregame. And it's an hour of prayer and worship before the service time even starts. You know the thing that I used to love about going to Auburn football games when Aaliyah was at Auburn? Tailgating. It was so much fun. I enjoyed tailgating as much or more than I did the ball game. Can't anybody relate? Anybody relate? Boy, we go all out. There's twice as many people that can at Sanford Stadium on a real SEC game. That, no offense to Vanderbilt, but on a big SEC game, they may hold 100,000 people in Sanford Stadium, but there's going to be another 100,000 people outside just tailgating because they want to do the pregame experience. And so we come in with such a great sense of anticipation and expectation and totally give ourselves to it. And you know what it does? Causes heaven to respond. You know why God's not blowing up in a lot of people's lives? Because they're so indifferent about Him. They're not looking for Him to move. They're not looking for Him to blow them away in places of intimacy. Not looking to go into a place of intercourse with Him. That's the back and forth of who's loving on who. Are you loving on Him or is He loving on you? Yes! Yes! Don't let the world rob that word from us. And so I get frustrated here where we just come in and it's like, well, I'm indifferent. I really don't feel like engaging with God today. And I'm like, come on, guys. Come on. You don't have to jump, but be on your face. You ain't got to shout, but be on your face. And we're not looking for much. That's the real, I'm being honest, we're not looking for much. We look for more of an experience out of our vacations than we do out of our encounters with God. We really do. I do. Man, I got hunts and trips lined up and I'm already, you know. Eric, I booked a goose hunt the other morning and I was giddy because I booked a goose hunt. I already had the duck hunt booked and I'm like, man, I'm going to go goose hunting too. So I called this guy and told him, yo, Billy Joe Bob, getting off the track. Hold on a minute, man, let me cut my tractor off. And I called Lori and I was like, I got us a goose hunt booked. January the 14th. Gonna go after Specklebellies. You know? She got excited too. That's what's crazy. She's like, yeah. And you know what I will do over the next 2 months? With anticipation and expectation, I will come in believing that that time is gonna be monumental. Eric's going to North Dakota next week on a hunt. Man, he was telling me, I'm like, you lucky joker. I'm so jealous. I've got expectation for him. I'm going to live vicariously through him next week. The only part of me going is my gun case. But we're not looking for much out of God. And I love that, and I'm excited that we can do that. At the end of 3.5-4 hours of worship and all that, I was down there talking to Lyndon and Damon about us doing some hunting trips together. Hey, brother, let's go shoot some ducks and shoot some quail and all this stuff and everything. Nothing wrong with that. Until it usurps our expectation level of what God's going to do. What are we looking for to fulfill us in life? Yesterday afternoon, I tried real hard. I did. I tried so hard to watch some college football games. I promise you I did. Brent, I tried hard. I came in, man, and I worked in the hay field. As I said, I'm gonna work till 7 o'clock, putting hay in the barn and all that. And at 7 o'clock, man, I shut it down and I said, you know, we're gonna cook some supper and I'm gonna watch football for about 2 hours and then I'm gonna go engage the Lord and all that stuff. And I tried every game that I possibly could to find something that captured me, captured my attention and all that stuff. And I failed miserably on every one. I mean, I tried Auburn and I was like, where their offense is, no one, but I tried them. I tried Georgia. I'm not a Georgia fan. I tried watching Georgia and Vanderbilt. I tried to watch every game that was on TV. And after about an hour, I just finally gave up. And I said, Lori, watch Cooking Channel if you want to. Because none of it captured my imagination. None of it captured my heart. And I want to be so in love with Him and such a sense of expectation with Him, such a sense of expectation of what He's doing right now. I was more excited about what He was doing up there with y'all and kids decorating pumpkins and sisters having an awesome afternoon together. I was more excited about that. I'd hear the kids on and say, man. I mean, I wasn't wanting to run up there and get in the middle of it or anything, but I was just excited about what I knew God was doing. That's my thing. That's my thing. And so, I leaned over to Graham and I said, man, do you feel this sense of expectation? I didn't go any further than that. But I was overwhelmed by the sense of expectation. It felt that the Holy Spirit was brooding over the place in anticipation of what was being incubated in our lives. It was the beginning of creation as in Genesis. Not only was there an expectation of the people, and I put it in here, they weren't in expectation of a word or good service. It was much more. That He was creating something beautiful in His bride, something outside of the curse, beyond the curse, redeemed from the curse. But there was also an expectation from heaven. It was as if heaven was in an even greater sense of expectation in what was incubating. As I said earlier, I wrote down Romans 8:18-24. And it says, all of creation groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. Has this high expectation of the manifestation of the sons of God. All of creation is on edge waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And I was caught in this place to where there was such a weight of expectation from heaven at what God was about to do, and it met the expectation from earth about what God was about to do, and it transformed a moment or a service or a good word or anything like that. I'm so excited about what's happening in the kingdom now, and it's not because we come in and we have just killer services every week. Our services have a different weight every week right now. Our Wednesday nights carry a different weight right now, but to somebody that is not looking for a lot, they'll come in and they'll say, man, I just ain't feeling it. I ain't feeling it. Because ain't nobody running around the church. The masses aren't the... This isn't a message for the masses, because you start telling people God wants you to live beyond the curse, they're like, I'm out. You know why they're out? Because they can't believe, they can't see themselves as living in the place of resurrected Christ, because all they can see themselves living in is the fallen Adam. Your DNA is not fallen Adam. It's not your DNA anymore. Your DNA is resurrected Christ. And we're not looking for a whole lot because we can't see ourselves as being that person. It's not us dreaming and living some fairy tale life. It's us living what He says in Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 62. It's what He says about our generations. I'm not hyped up about our kids because I believe that our moms are raising better kids now, but I believe that our kids are living in a superior level of presence. Y'all didn't get that, or y'all didn't amen that. Let me read that. Let me rehash that to you. I do not believe that Ariel and Aaliyah and Ashley and all these young moms in the church are doing a better job of the X's and O's of parenting. I think they're doing a fine job. But my granny did a pretty good job. But what I believe that they are walking in a superior place is I believe that our children and my grandchildren are being raised in a superior level of presence. And that's the difference. That's the difference. Not saying they're hearing superior Bible stories. I heard them all when I was a kid. But they are being raised in a superior presence. That's why I'm excited about it. That's why I'm excited. That's why my hope's there. Because you know what a preacher would have said 150 years ago? He'd said, boy, our hope's in the next generation. And God's going to raise up that next generation and all that stuff. But you know what I believe the difference in today? Is I believe that there's a superior level of presence right now. I believe there's a superior level of presence right now. And y'all are facilitating that because y'all see yourselves as raising your children in a place beyond the curse. Beyond the curse. Beyond the curse. And it's not just our little kids. James, you and Kami, y'all were believing that for y'all's kids. They're beyond the curse. They're going to live a life that's beyond the cursed. It's beyond it. It's in a place of being redeemed. It's a place where God, I don't know what their career is going to be, but I will tell you this, that if they will walk in the promises and blessings, Isaiah 61, Isaiah 62 said God's going to marry Himself to their land. Dude, when I get married to by God, that's that statement you made to me when we went fly fishing a few weeks ago, brother, that you don't have to be the best, but you want to be different. Basically, what I don't even know if you meant to knew what you were saying. Basically, what you're saying is, I want God to marry Himself to my life. I want Him to marry Himself to my home. That's why you're attracted to that. That's why you like hanging. You like hanging out over at some, don't you? Yes, it's all right. It's not because they built a new house. It's because they're starting to say yes to His presence on higher levels. And that's what not only what's going to attract or impact your two physical daughters, but it's going to impact all those that come in. The strangers, if you will. Not that you're a stranger, but you know what I'm saying. What are we looking for? What are we looking for? The reason that the "and suddenly" happened was because they said yes. Was because that they were looking for that. They had been looking for that. Man, I so want us to believe for more. I so want us to believe that all of these things can be launched in us and through us. What are the needs of society? The answer for every need of society is in this room. I believe that. If you don't, you're slandering God. I don't even have to believe it's all in this room. I believe it can just be contained within you two guys. And the seed that's in your loins. Because of an elevated place of presence. Because you come in and you say, this is what I'm looking for. I'm saying start raising your goals and your dreams and what you're looking for in life. Quit trying to just come by and just say, man, I just want to make it and I just want to survive and I just want to be able to pay my bills next week. And start thinking beyond that. If God loves you, you don't think He cares about your power bill? God loves you, you don't think He cares about your court case? Absolutely He does. I have to trust He's going to take care of these things, and I'm going to do my part. But I'm believing for Him to meet me in higher places. And there were a group of guys that were looking for that, and they wanted that, but there was a lot that were like, no, I'm good. I'm good. The expectation from heaven in this moment, I really feel and believe this with every fiber of my being, that the expectation of heaven right now is higher than the expectation of earth. But God is wanting to so stir in us that we begin to meet that. That we begin to meet that. We begin to meet His expectation, His anticipation. Because there is an incubation that is taking place right now in the body, and God's pouring His Spirit out on so many. Man, if I had hours, I could sit here and talk for hours about this. But I believe He's pouring it out on family. I believe He's pouring it out on creativity. I believe He's pouring it out on craftsmen and artisans and all of these individuals. And I believe God is just beginning to release His Spirit on that. And you're seeing all of these people begin to pop up. You know, Aaliyah went to a conference this past week. A little girl from Midway, and they went up there and just moved by some of these speakers and some of their stories and all of this stuff at a homeschool conference. But you know what was the big push behind all that? Was Jesus in our lives. They didn't say it was a Christian conference, but every bit of the DNA was, this is who we are as individuals, and this is why our stuff's taking off. And He comes in, and I just want to say this, and I'm going to tie it all up. Nathaniel was blown away because Jesus released this little prophetic word into him. I mean, it wasn't much. He just said, man, yeah, I saw you when you was under the fig tree before Philip ever called you and all that stuff. And he's like, man, how did you see me under the fig tree? You must be God. He said, dude, you're about to get blown away if you think that's something. If you think that's something, I'm about to rock your world. Father God's about to rock your world. He said, you're about to see open heavens. He said, you're about to see open heavens. You're about to see open heavens. You're about to see angels ascending and descending. And I believe when we come in, what I feel right now, I really believe when we come in with an expectation level and we are looking to see God move in this day in a mighty way, that there's going to be open heavens over our life. I personally feel like God's marrying Himself to my life right now. I personally feel like God's marrying Himself to my life right now. I feel like 2018 is a bridal year. I'm serious, for me. For me. And it's not because I'm special, it's just because I'm looking for stuff. I'm looking for Him. I want to see Him. I want to know Him. I want Him to be so. I want Him to be everything in my life that He designed for me to become. I want to be an agent of. I don't want to be an agent of change in this world. I want to be an agent of reformation in this world. To where this world lives beyond the curse. We say that's too tall a task. Not if all of us are walking in that place. Not if all of us are walking in that place. What if you're living in a place of redemption beyond the curse? What if your finances are? There's never going to be a financial need. Because every one of us is blowing up. Huh? There's never going to be a shortage of love because every one of us is just oozing with it. There's never going to be a shortage of community. Because every one of us has a spirit of hospitality. Every one of us has a spirit of hospitality. It's one thing I like about the life groups. It's when you're doing the life groups, you say, man, I'm opening up my life. I'm opening up my home. And maybe you're meeting here at the church, but I'm opening up my home. I'm becoming vulnerable among some people. Becoming vulnerable among people. And as we start doing that, then heaven is going to drop seed in that fertile ground, and it's going to incubate that, and we're going to start seeing stuff. Your business doing good, brother? Blowing up in it. I don't attribute it to Trump. I don't attribute it to a good economy. I attribute it to Yahweh. I'm sure you work hard and you're good at what you do. I am too. Do you know why we're blowing up? Because Him. Because He's married Himself to us. He's married Himself to us. He's married Himself to us. I got two daughters that can jump up here and give a prophetic word anytime they get an unction from the Lord. And it's not because I was this awesome dad and all that. I invested heavily in my family. But the reason they do that is because God's married Himself to our family. He's married Himself to our family. I expect nothing less. I expect even greater for my grandchildren. It's because God's married Himself to us. And here's the cool thing, man. Do not think that it's just like, oh, well, man, you just lucky, see it, and all that, and everything felt right, and all this stuff. God wants to marry Himself to you, and to your life, and to your land, and to your family, and to your marriage, and to your home, and to your calling, and to your business, to your finances, and to everything else. Yes, He does. Amen, Brother Sid. I believe it, I receive it, I'm looking for it. This goes past the prosperity message, man. I'm not taking some hyper thing out of Brother Kenneth Hagin's that we're the head and not the tail. I love and I honor him. But man, this is going on to a place where this isn't just about me being blessed. I've been in places in my life where I'm saying, let me show you how good God is by how blessed I am. That ain't the case this time. I'm like, let me redeem this planet by how good God is. That's my motivation, and that's my heart, and that's what He wants for us. That's what He wants you to carry over into the Philippines. When every one of us is working in that place, when every one of us is living in that place, Brother Jeff don't have to worry about, is my budget going to be met next week? I'm going to do lunch with him this week, and I guarantee you, when I ask Jeff, I already know what the answer is going to be. When I ask Jeff, Brother, could you do more if you had more resources? You know what his answer would be? Absolutely. But the reason that the budget's an issue is, you know what? It ain't on him, it's on us, because we're not walking in the fullness of what they promised right here. Shouldn't be an orphan spirit come in this house, because there ought to be so many mamas and daddies jump on that. It's beyond just those resources. Somebody new comes in and wants to get tapped into a life group, the life groups ought to be clamoring for them. I'll get them. You know. Because there's such a father in spirit and such a mother in spirit. But we're not looking for that in our lives. And God said, start looking for things and you'll receive things. The and suddenlies will happen. The and suddenlies will happen. Brother Chris Roberts, and I'm done. I'll develop this Wednesday night. If I try to develop it now, we'll be here till 3 and I won't do it justice. Brother Chris Roberts came and spoke at the men's meeting a week and a half ago. He said something that I absolutely loved. And it resonated with me more than anything. And I know he spoke to a lot of you guys. But you know one thing that he said? He said, when God brought me and Nana to Victory Fellowship, he said, we actually kind of got lost coming home. Trying to find new to Bremen and trying to find a church and all that. And he said, we kind of came the back way, going home, shortcut to our house, and we saw Victory Fellowship. And we're like, we'll try that. And he said, when they were honest with each other, because their marriage was on the rocks, their marriage was at the point that we're punting. And Brother Chris said, when we said yes to let's try God fixing our marriage, and we came into this place, he said, God fixed our marriage in a second. That was his words, not mine. That ain't preacher talk. Wasn't it? Isn't that what he said, Paul? He said, God fixed our marriage in a second. God's not in a hurry, but He's going to come quickly, I believe. He's going to begin to come quickly in your life if you are looking for that, for more, for being the answer to the curse. He's going to come quickly in that, and then He's going to give you a lifetime to walk it out. That's why I say He's not in a hurry, but He's going to come quickly. He'll fix it in a hurry, and then He's going to give you a lifetime to walk it out. God wants to marry Himself to your business. He wants to marry Himself to your career. He wants to marry Himself to your family. He wants to marry Himself to your marriage. He wants to marry Himself to your children. He wants to marry Himself to your sphere of influence. When people come to my house, they should feel the presence of God hit them when they come on my property. I don't even know who was at Leah's last night, but I guarantee if I sit down and talk to them, the majority of them would tell me, man, it just felt God's just, boy, His Spirit was just, I just felt His presence, and it was peace. Peace always His calling card. I guarantee you, and I didn't talk to anybody, I guarantee you it was peace. Peace, I guarantee you. That's what He brings and drops. Because He wants to marry Himself to those that are around us. But we've got to look for more, guys. We've got to look for more. Let's stand to our feet. Feel like I'm losing you. If you're looking for good church, that's not what I'm about. I'll go ahead and tell you. Good church is going to be a fruit. Great church will be a fruit. But if you're not looking for God to invade your life, I love what Bill Johnson says. Bill Johnson says, we ask God to come into our life. When He comes, He brings His world with Him. When He comes, He brings His world with Him. But if you are looking for that, God is going to come quickly. He's going to come suddenly. And then He's going to take a lifetime and let you walk it out in a lifetime. That's what He's wanting to do right now. That's what He's wanting to do right now. And it doesn't mean He's going to rob you of the things that you love. He's just going to, He's going to shift some things. I'm feeling a huge shift in my life right now. And I'm still passionate about things that I'm passionate about, man. I still get stoked about, you know, some of my hobbies and all that stuff. Super, super pumped. The Word says He gives us a desire of our heart. But He also says, seek ye first the kingdom of His and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That's what I'm looking for. What are you looking for?
Would the praise and worship team come up, please? And Paul, would you come up here, please? And I need a lady with small feet. Who has small feet? Smaller than Paul's. Casey, come here. As we were, all the things, and we were talking about being frustrated, and God spoke to me. He said, one of the reasons my people are frustrated is they're not walking in their own shoes. They're trying to walk in somebody else's. So, Paul, would you take your shoes off? And Casey, would you sit right here and take your shoes off? And Miss Linda, you can try to put on one of his boots. Y'all going to switch shoes, okay? You're going to switch shoes. When my girls were little, I have their grown now and they have their own families, but at a very early age, God clearly spoke to me and Sydney both. He said, you have to raise them different. You cannot discipline them the same. You cannot expect the same out of them. They are different. And if you try to, you will lose them. It wasn't like, this is a suggestion. You will lose them. They will go to the world. You will lose them to the world if you try to raise them the same. And we had to parent them differently. Now, Casey, you put on this one. Miss Linda, I'm not gonna make you walk, but you can put on that one. Oh, let's see this. This works really good. Yes. Now, are you comfortable? Do you love it? Oh, don't even get up. You might kill yourself, honey. Let's just stay right there. But you see, we come in and we try to wear pastor shoes. And that doesn't work. And we get mad at pastor and we get mad at God. Oh, I think I'll try Robin's shoes. Hers look pretty good. I think I can walk in her. And God said, no, that didn't work, did it? And we become so frustrated as a people. And God made us all to work uniquely in this system as who you are. As who you are, Wanda. as who you are. This this is not going to work. You'd be blisters, wouldn't you? Could you walk very far? Come on, Casey. Come on, let's just try this. Come on. This is good. Isn't that good? I think it fits. I think that's who she should be. Let's walk like this for a week or two and see how we do. Walk around the church. Just keep going. Just keep going. That's going to work for you. I'm sure it will. I'm sure it's the way you're supposed to be made. God made you to do that. And it's, take this week. God's saying right now, ask Him, what shoes have I tried to walk in that didn't work for me and I got frustrated and I quit? Because it wasn't God. It was the enemy telling us this is how we had to be. And God wants to release you to be who He called you to be. Right? And in that's when we'll get married to Him, as we're talking about. That's when we'll seek Him, and He'll fill us with that peace when I'm in my own skin. As a church, I want to release you to be who God's called. We don't need any more Pauls or any more. We need them to wear the right shoes. That way we'll get, let me help you. This is not even good, is it? No. Let's put it back the way it's supposed to be. Let's go back. Let's go back. Isn't that better? Isn't that so much better? Now go walk around the church when you get... Walk around. See how that feels. See how that works for you. You're not tripping. It's not heavy. It's not a burden. It's who you're supposed to be. Right? Isn't that better? Isn't that better? So right now, just take a minute and say, Father, show me where I've tried to wear things I shouldn't wear this year. Show me where, you know what it'll cause you to be? It'll cause you not to be content in your life. You'll be frustrated, you'll be discontented, and you won't be happy, you won't have peace, you won't have any of this flowing in your life when you're trying to walk in somebody else's shoes or somebody else's ways, and you're trying to be somebody you're not supposed to be, because He made you who you are, and He loves you. Amen? So just take this minute and say, Father, what's blocking me from You? What have I tried to put on me that I shouldn't this week? Let me be who You call me to be. I release You. Y'all better not take away my grandchildren's twirling up here in their pretty little dresses. Don't tell them to slow down and not to be who they want to be, because God's saying release them. This is going to become a house where you're going to be released to be who God's called you to be. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank You. Let's just sing one song. We'll be done. I promise. Just one song.